Today we're going to continue our Hakdama, before we actually get to the topic of Bechira Chafshis, with a very, very basic question. And that question is, were we created with free will? We're going to see, God willing, next week, how man's fundamental mission is rooted in his freedom. And therefore, one would certainly assume that it must have been the case he was created with freedom. However, as we'll see, there seem to be certain understandings of the story of the Eitz Das Tov Hara, which imply the other way. They imply that man was not initially free. Perhaps through eating from the Eitz Das Tov Hara, human beings got freedom. And that, of course, presents a number of questions. First of all, the most obvious question is, how in the world could they have sinned if they weren't free? How could Adam and Chava have been chote and be held accountable for their chait, received an onesh, if they didn't initially have freedom? Moreover, what would the purpose of man's creation be if it wasn't with freedom? The simple understanding is that this didn't have to turn out this way. It would have, in fact, been better had it not turned out, had Adam and Chava not eaten from the Eitz Hadas, and therefore, what would the purpose of humanity be if we are created without freedom, especially as we will see that freedom seems to be such a fundamental aspect of our existence and our purpose. So, take a look first at the supplemental makoros I gave out today. If you start with Rashi, it's not so clear. Rashi writes, "V'lo yisbos shashu," right? Man and woman were undressed but not embarrassed. "Shelo yu yodim derech tznius lahavchin bein tov l'ra, v'af al pishen nasna bo das likro shemos." Adam was originally given das. His ability to give names to all the animals reflects a very profound understanding of the nature of the animals and the like. Lo nasan bo yetzer ad achlo min ha'etz v'nichnas bo yetzer hara v'yada ma bein tov l'ra. So he initially had das, but he was not yodea bein tov l'ra, as the pasuk implies, etz das tov hara. And the way Rashi understands this was that he did not have a Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara relates to Yodea Tov Hara. Rashi isn't so clear exactly what this means. Does that mean he didn't have freedom, or he had freedom, but he didn't have a Yetzer Hara? What does a lack of Yetzer Hara imply? So we'll hopefully, Be'ezus Hashem, get back to this. But I'd like to turn now and focus on the sheet of the Ramban. The first half of today's shiur will be on Ramban's Mahalechir. The second half will be on Rambam's Mahalechir. It's important to note at the beginning that this is a very hard sugya, hard parsha. The parshios of Gan Eden are ones that are esoteric and that we won't be able to fully understand. But nevertheless, I think it is a story that we can gain some understanding of it, and we're meant to study and try to understand it the best we can. So, as I said, you here have the Ramban, and we're going to read through this Ramban very carefully, because, like all Rambans, it needs to be read carefully, and especially here, I think one can miss the point if one reads it quickly. And in fact, we'll also see that there's some debate as to how to understand the Ramban. In fact, I myself understood the Ramban one way, and Ariel Diamond convinced me that different Mahalech was correct. I'm not going to say it exactly like he says it, because I'm not sure I understood his Mahalech entirely. But one way or the other, maybe we'll read the Ramban again today and we'll have another Mahalech. Okay, so the first part of the Ramban, he first quotes the Ibn Ezra on Eitz Hadas Tov Hara, Maybe we'll return back to what Ibn Ezra said, his critique of the Ibn Ezra, but I really want to start with his pshat, which begins where it's bolded, which is v'hayafe be'enai. Ki adam haya ose betivo, ma sheroi lasos kefi hatoledes. So man originally did that which was natural, whatever was proper for him to do. Kasher yasu ha-shamayim v'chol tzva'am. Po'olei emes, shepulasam emes, v'lo yishanu es tafgidam, v'ein lahem b'ma'aseihem ahava osina. Just like the heavens and their hosts, being faithful workers whose work in truth is truth, and who do not change from their course, and in whose deeds there is no ahava or sina. So the first thing that the Ramban compares a person to, man to, before the chait, was basically the heavens, the stars. So in this piece we'll see that the Ramban is going to offer several analogies to the nature of man prior to sin. So what is the comparison to celestial bodies? So the Ramban tells us that they do their job naturally. There's no inner conflict or tension. The Ramban presumably understood that the celestial bodies were capable of higher thought, or they certainly lacked free will. And the truth is, when you first read this line, you get the impression that man also lacked free will, insofar as he was like the celestial bodies. He was like the stars or the sun or the moon, which of course prompts the question that we addressed before, that we asked before, which is, how could he have sinned if he lacked free will? Presumably, the stars can't sin. Now, one possible mahalich would be to say that somehow or another, even from a perspective of non-freedom, sin is possible. Perhaps an analogy to this would be certain sources that imply malachim sin at certain places, or at least do not, which is fully correct. Rabbeinu Bachya talks about it in a couple of places. One of the places is the story of Lot and the destruction of Sodom. And you could try to take that mahalich. However, I believe that the Ramban does believe, and I'll try to show this is true, that man initially does have free will. And that is why he's able to sin. Because you could not sin in the way that man does without Bechira. And the comparison to the heavenly hosts is meant to highlight man's initial lack of Ratzon. The Ramban is going to say throughout that man originally lacked Ratzon. Now, I'm not going to translate Ratzon. I think as we read through the Ramban, we'll try to figure out what he means by Ratzon. But the term generally connotes will, desire, and the like. So the Ramban writes that, again, man was originally like the faithful workers, namely the sun, the moon. They follow their course. And he writes that we were incapable of emotions, right? Ein lahem ahava or sina. So apparently, we just did what we were called to do. Ahava, sina, these types of emotions were irrelevant from our initial perspective. Okay, let's continue. Upri ha'ilan hazeh hayamolid haratzon v'chefetz shiyivcheru ochlav b'davar o b'hipucho latov o l'ra. So what eating from the Eitz Hadas do? It created, it was molid, ratzon and chefetz. What does that mean? To choose davar o hipucho, tov or ra. In other words, to see two options, to see tov and ra, and have the ability to even consider choosing ra. Davar v'hipucho. That is what changed here. So he doesn't say, I don't think he's saying over here, that man got free will. What he says is that man got ratzon. And I believe A place where you see this perhaps even a little more explicitly in the Ramban is in his Perush from Parshas Nitzavim. You have it in the next source. The Ramban here is talking about the pasuk of Umal Hashem Elokechas Levavcha, and later in the Zman Be'ezus Hashem we'll talk about Yemos HaMashiach and what its purpose is. But the Ramban understands the Psukim and Parshas Nitzavim discuss Yemos HaMashiach, and part of the Nevuah about Yemos HaMashiach is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to remove our Arlas HaLev. Now what does it mean to remove the Arlas HaLev? So the Ramban here says that basically means we're going to return to the level of Adam HaRishon Kodem Achet. So he writes, second line in, Ki Mizman HaBriya Haisa Rishus Fiyad HaAdam Lasos Kirtzono Sadik O Rasha. Mizman HaBriya, now I think the Ramban is Meduyak here, Mizman HaBriya means from the time of creation, not from the time of the Chet. We'll see in a moment, he refers to that in a second, but from the time of Bria. So man was created with Bechira. Skipping a little, Aval Yemos HaMashiach Tiyah Bechira Betov Lahem Teva Lo Yisave Lahem HaLev Lema She'enu Ra'ui V'lo Yachpot Spo Klal. In Yemos HaMashiach, the Bechira Betov will be natural. We won't desire that which is not good for us. One of the effects of eating from the Eitz Hadas Tov Hara is we desire that which is bad for us. Easy for us to imagine that with respect to things like food. We might know that the candy isn't good for us, but we desire and we eat it. So sometimes we go ahead and we see the candy and we say, that looks really good, but I think it's a bad idea, it's not healthy, and we restrain ourselves. And other times, we don't restrain ourselves. We desire davar vipucha, we desire health, but we also desire candy. We desire life, but we desire also that which takes away our life. That's true with respect to candy. It's true with respect to all sorts of struggles that we have. All these struggles that we are desiring davar vipucha, that we don't do that which is right naturally, the Ramban says, are the effect of eating from the Eitz Hadas Tov Hara. And Memela, Umal Hashem es Arlas Levavcha, means Hashem will take away that Arlas Halev, will no longer desire Davar V'Ipucho. Skipping a little, V'yashuv Ha'adam Bizman Ahu, L'asher Yakodem Cheto Shal Adam HaRishon, Shehaya Oseh B'Tivo Ma'asheroi Lasos, V'lo Hayabo B'Irtzono Davar V'Ipucho, K'mo Shepirashti B'Sefer B'Reishis. Okay. So the Ramban writes here, I think, that Mizman HaBriya, we had Bechira, we had free will, but we didn't have Ratzon. Pleasure was not a motivating force in our decision making. Rather, like we said, we did what was right naturally. A person, the Ramban will say in a minute, would eat when it was healthy to eat. And they would eat that which is healthy to eat. There was no such thing as overeating or eating unhealthy food. Likewise, the Ramban writes that a person, man, initially would only have tashmish hamita for the purpose of procreation, and at times when procreation was feasible, not other times, not for other purposes. So while man ate before Eitz Hadas, man had Tash Meshamita before the Eitz Hadas, but pleasure, which is something that we associate with these activities, had no relevance initially. It's interesting that Abar Benel, you have it on page 2 over here, has a number of objections to Ramban, but one of them is that due to man's physical makeup, that some form of desire, a physical desire, must have been built into man just by his being a physical creature. And the Ramban here is saying that's not true, that there's no inherent connection between desire and the physicality of man. And this relates to a bigger topic, which we'll get back to later in the Zman, about why it is that the Ramban felt that la'achar t'chias ha'meisim in olam haba we would have a guf, because there doesn't have to be a stira between the guf and the neshama in the way that there is now. All that, Be'ezus Hashem, we'll talk about later. Okay, so let's go back to the Ramban and Bereishis on page 1. So the Ramban next shows how the word das relates to raton. In other words, Eitz Hadas Tovara, or Vayisem Kelokim Yod'ei Tovara. The word das specifically refers to raton. In other words, usually we translate, let's say, the tree as the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Eitz Hadas Tovara. So the Ramban would say that's not a precise translation, because das doesn't always refer to knowledge. So the Ramban tries to prove this. The lachen nikra eitz hadas tovara ki hadas yomar bil shonenu al haratzon. The term das relates to ratzon. Kil shonam. First of all, you see it in the lashon of Chazal. Lo shanu ela shedaito lachzor. Shedaito lachzor doesn't mean he knows how to get back. It means he intends to return. V'shedaito lifnosa, or lashon akasav, ma'adam v'teda'ehu, tachpots v'tirtzebo. What does it mean, ma'adam v'teda'ehu? What is man that you know him? It doesn't mean that you know him. The chiddush isn't that God knows us. It refers to the ratzon. Or likewise, this week's parsha, next week's parsha, last week's parsha, yedaticha b'shem, right? Yedaticha b'shem, talking about Bezalel, doesn't mean, God knew his name. No, it refers to the ratzon to choose Bezalel. Bechartiha mikol adam. What does yedaticha b'shem means? I was bocher you. V'chein mamar habarzilai ha'eda ben tov lara shavad mimenu koach harayon lo shaya bocher. The davar velo katzpo, vaya ochel mibli shiyitam, v'shomea mibli shis anig b'shir. So here the Ramban cites the story of Barzilai, and the Ramban, already the Ibn Ezra before him, picked up on the fact that this pasuk and the story of Barzilai is going to be particularly important in understanding our parsha, in understanding what Ladas Tovara is. Because the psukim over there, the pasuk over there, uses almost the identical terminology as it does in our pasuk. Take a look at the pasuk. It's over here from Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud Tes, Pasuk Lamed Vav, on below the Ramban and Dvarim on page 1. Just to remind ourselves, the story is that David HaMelech wishes to reward Barzilai after he showed faithfulness during Avshalom's insurrection. And he wants to help him. He wants to give him something. And Barzilai responds, Ben Shmonim Shana Anochi Ayom, Ha'eda Ben Tov Lara, Im Yit'am Avdecha Asher Ochal V'Asher Eshte, Im Eshma Od Bekol Sharim V'Sharos. Right? There's nothing you could give me, Barzilai says, that I'm going to enjoy. I'm too old. Pleasure is foreign to me. It's not something that I appreciate. So there's no need to give me anything in that sort. And again, the lashon is ha'eda bein tov lara. So the Ibn Ezra quotes this pasuk. This is in the earlier part cited in the Ramban that we didn't read, and he says that you see from here that the eitz hadas tovara gave rise to sexual desire. And that's what Barzilai is basically saying. Ha'idah bein tov lara. And that's why he says that after they were chote, they covered their private parts. Why? Because now that they had some form of sexual desire, so memela, there was a shame associated with it and a need to cover it. And that's what the Ibn Ezra says. That's why yediyah is always a euphemism for tashmish amita. Right? Adam yada es ishto. So, Adam yadas ishto, in the same sense as in the Parsha Barzilai, ha'eda bein tov lara. Yedi is euphemism. So the Ramban rejects Ibn Ezra, and one of the reasons is because the pasuk says, vayisem kelokim yod'ei tov lara. The Nachash entices Adam and Chava to sin so that you will be godlike. Yodei Tov Hara, Yisem Kelokim. Now, if Yedia only refers to sexual desire, then that statement doesn't make any sense, because God does not experience that. So, it's clear from the Pesukim, the Ramban says, that the snake is enticing them by offering them some type of godlike quality, Ve'yisem Kelokim. And in fact, it was true. They did get a certain type of godlike quality. We'll explain what that is in a moment. But fundamentally, the Ramban says Ratzon is a godlike quality. So he proves that Haida bein Tov Lara in the Parsha of Barzilai doesn't show that Yediyah means like the Ibn Ezra, sexual desire, but it means Ratzon. Barzilai is saying, I no longer have any Ratzon. And therefore, there's nothing you could give me, David, that I will appreciate. And therefore, we'll see in a moment, saying that Vayisem Kelokim Yodei Tov Hara makes a lot of sense. Because as we'll see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Ratzon, and Adam and Chava initially lacked Ratzon. Now, now let's read on a little bit. Okay, so he shows more how the term Yediyah relates to Ratzon. V'hine ba'es hazos lo haya bein Adam v'ishto ha-mishgal atava. So again, in this initial state, mishgal, tashmish, was not something that was associated with desire. Avo ba'es ha-olada yischabru v'yolidu, like we said, at the time that was appropriate for procreation, so they would have tashmish. V'lachein hayu avarim kulam be'enem kepanim v'yadayim v'lo yispo shashabam. That's why man originally had no shame or need to cover up his private parts. Why was that? Because they were no different than the hand or than the face or the like. They were simply tools to carry out their mission. So now, what changed? V'hine, achare achlo min ha'etz, ha'sa b'yado ha'bechira. So that line sounds a little bit like they only got bechira afterwards. Unlike the diak we had before from the Ramban in Dvarim, and it's based off of this line that, as I mentioned, there are those that understand, maybe the Akedas Yitzchak, for example, take a look at there, understand that Ramban is saying that fundamentally Adam originally lacked Bechira, maybe playing up the emphasis, the comparison to the stars. And now he has Bechira. Again, my netiyah is to perhaps focus more on the emphasis on the comparison to Barzilai. Barzilai surely had Bechira, he lacked Ratzon. But even as an old man, he might not have appreciated singing or food or tashmish or whatever it is, but he had bechira. So what does Ramban mean? So I'll have to explain that. Uvirtsono lahara o lehetiv. I'll take a question, but let's just try to define it a little more. Ramban's still defining his terms. Okay? Uvirtsono lahara o lehetiv bein lo bein lacherim. So what changed? Now we had a ratzon lahara o lehetev. Fascinating. Bein lo, bein la'acherim. Meaning to say, without having consumed from the Eitz Hadas, there was no ratzon either to do bad or to do good, neither to himself nor to others. So the idea of helping somebody, for example, was inconceivable. Le'etiv la'acherim, kodem the achilas eitz adas tovar, or even leitiv latzmo or lahara lachirim. In other words, it's not just that he had a yetzer hara. You think of somebody without a yetzer hara, so what's he going to do? He'll do mitzvos all day. He'll do chesed all day. No yetzer hara. So of course I'm going to, you know, why do I think of myself? Why am I selfish? I focus on my own needs. I have a yetzer hara. So if I don't have a yetzer hara, so then I'll be meitiv lachirim all day long. I'll be like Rabbi Levine. No. The Ramban says that there's no ratzon even to be meitiv l'achirim kodem the achilas ha'etz tovara. So what was born was ratzon. And says the Ramban, v'zu midas elokis mitzad echad. On the one hand, it's a midas elokis, like the snake says, v'hayisem kelokim yodei tovara. Snake wasn't really lying. And there's a mila. There's a tremendous mila of existing with ratzon, but also v'ra'a le'adam v'heyos bo v'heyos lo ba yetzer v'tava. On the other hand, there's a big downside. The downside is having the yetzer hara. It's having the taiva. So, again, my netiyah is to say that initially Adam did have bechira in the sense of free will. So what does he mean then when he says over here, acharei achlo min ha'etz haisa biyado ha'bechira? So I think what he means is that most of our sins, perhaps all of our sins, are rooted in ratzon, are rooted in desire of some sort. This is certainly true with respect to base iniquities, like those involving food or taiva, but it's also at the root of things like envy, of desire for honor, kina, taiva, kavod. All these things are rooted in ratzon. Even avodah zarah, according to the Gemara, perhaps very much relating to this week's parsha, was rooted in ratzon, that the Gemara in Sanhedrin on the Samach Gemal Amud Beis, that what was at the root for the desire of avodah zarah was lahati arayos b'farhesia. Hence, the close association again, like in our parsha. So in a certain sense, it would be correct. It would be accurate to say Adam Arishon lacked bechira originally, because the bechira that he experienced originally was nothing like our bechira, because our bechira, our desire to sin, is rooted in ratzon, in desire, in ratzon, and desire of some sort, whether again it's for food or whether it's kinna or kite or kavod, and man lacked that. So Adam Arishon certainly initially did not experience bechira in the way that we experience bechira, because the way we experience bechira is rooted in our ratzon, and man originally lacked ratzon. And that's what he says, I think, when he means that after he ate, right, birtsono l'harao le'tev bein lo l'acherim. This relates to what he said in that first sentence, that originally man could not love or hate prior to consuming the fruit. Now, what does that mean? So what it shows us is that lack of ratzon goes well beyond simply lack of interest in the sensual. Right? And that's why he rejects the Ibn Ezra. It's much more deep than desiring the sensual. And like the Ramban said, it's midas elokim mitzad echad. It's a godlike quality. So now we have to understand. So what is the connection between the disinterest in the sensual and the ability to do good or bad onto yourself and onto others? So the Ramban says that they're both rooted in ratzon. If I lacked ratzon, so I can't see lacking in someone else, because lacking is a concept that's foreign to us. Remember, what was Adam kodem achet? So he was like the stars and the suns. Pulas hamemes. He would do his job. So the concept of somebody being hungry or needy or happy or sad, all those concepts are irrelevant, because if you're someone who just does what you're supposed to do without even imagining something else, so even if I'm hungry, what difference does that make? That's irrelevant. If I'm sad, well, what room is there for sadness? I do what I'm supposed to do. I do my job. It's like a kal to litvak, right? Well, there's no emotions are irrelevant, because what room is there for happiness or love or hatred if you simply do your tasks that you're supposed to accomplish? So not only as a person do I lack any sort of neediness because I simply do what I'm supposed to do with the tools that I'm given to do, but I'll never see lacking in others. I won't be able to be mative to somebody, because to be mative to somebody means that I recognize that they have a chisaron and I seek to fill that ratzon. If you can't relate to emotions, because emotions are irrelevant, they're inefficient, they're not part of your job, so then you will not be mative lacherim, and you certainly won't do bad to them. There's no point in harming them. There's no point in helping them. There's no point in being mative to yourself or hurting yourself. There's no way to love them or to hate them. All those, the Ramban says, are meaningless terms when you live in existence without ratzon, because your sole focus is completion of your task, whatever it may be. Oh. So now, the question is, what would have possibly motivated Adam and Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas Tov Hara? In other words, clearly it's not pleasure, because the Ramban told us there was no such thing as pleasure. It wasn't because the fruit, whatever it happened to be, whether it was a grape or a fig or wheat or an apple, right? It's not because it tasted good, because taste was a concept with no meaning. Adam ate when he was hungry for food that was healthy. So what then is the... What would have brought him to such an aveira? So the answer is explicit in the text. What does the text say? Vayisem kelokim yodei tov hara. He wanted to be like God. So what does that mean? So the first thing to recognize is being godlike is not the same thing as wanting to be God. Rather, as we've seen, man was limited in his ability to do good, and for that matter, bad, from his position prior to consuming the fruit. He couldn't love. He couldn't hate. He couldn't do good to another person. So what the snake promised them is that by eating from the fruit, they'll have a certain godlike quality, namely ratzon. That's the way Ramban understands yodei yisem kelokim yodei tov hara. You'll have ratzon. And you'll have the ability to serve God in a way that you can't do so now. Now, what do we mean when we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu also has ratzon? Like we said, it's like the Ramban says, it's a midas elokim, elokis. So the Ramban writes, for example, elsewhere, that Hashem's decision to create the world was a reflection of ratzon and chefetz. The Ramban in Shmos Perek Chaf writes, the decision to redeem the Jewish people from Mitzrayim was a reflection of ratzon and chefetz. And what the snake was telling them is that there's a certain advantage to serving God from a position of ratzon and chefetz. And that is what enticed Adam. So it wasn't... it wasn't the sweetness of the fruit, as it were, that he desired, but it was the ability to experience sweetness. And that's important because that was something that he was unable to do now. The Michtav Meliyahu, explaining this Ramban, says, it's in the Chelek Beis on page 139 to 149. I didn't give it to you, could look at it. But he says, in a sense, that Adam's chait was almost like an avera lishma, in the sense that it was rooted in his belief that there could be greater kiddush Hashem, you could be marbek vod shamayim to a greater degree when goodness is chosen from a perspective that evil is a possibility, as opposed to the way in which Adam experienced it then, where he did what was right automatically, or if not automatically, naturally. And Adam wanted to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu from that makom. And in fact, as Rabbeinu Bachya points out, there is merit to that argument. Rabbeinu Bachya also tries to explain this Ramban, Kedarko, and in, you have some of it over here, you can take a look. I don't think we'll read it together now. Still want to get to the Rambam. But the Rabbeinu Bachya writes, just read, pick out one line here, Ze midas elokis umida tova mitzad achad v'ra'a mitzad acher. Ultimately, what was so bad, so at least the way I think many of the Mefarshim explain the Ramban, is that what was so bad was not his motivation for doing this, but that it contravened the tzivoy of Hashem. In fact, it was correct that serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu from a perspective of bechira, of ratzon, is greater than serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu without that. But at the same time, Hashem said, don't do it. It's very much perhaps similar to this week's Parsha, the story of the Egel Azav, as explained by the Kuzari and Ibn Ezra and the like, who maintain that the Jewish people's desire to build the Egel was because of the difficulty of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, serving a God that's incorporeal, serving a God that you can't see or feel or touch or hear, and it was something that would help them focus their thoughts in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in fact, so they were motivated to serve God. That's why they built the Egel. And the Kuzari says, in fact, that there was something correct in that desire. And the purpose of the Kruvim and the Mishkan, in many ways, is to help man focus his attention on the service of the divine by providing something more tangible and physical to look at and experience. That's the Mishkan. But it was wrong in the case of the Egel Azav because it contravened the divine command, namely, said in Aseres HaDibros, that you can't make a Pesel. Not that it was fundamentally wrong. So, according to at least many interpretations in the Ramban himself doesn't say this. The Ramban doesn't tell us, as far as I can tell at least, answer this question, what would have motivated him to make this choice from his perspective of lacking ratzon. But at least the way a number of the Mefarshim understand Ramban is, and based off of the desire to be Kelokim, is it's to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this superior way. And that's the positive side to ratzon. And the Ramban, and again, Rabbeinu Bachya develops this a little bit more. So this idea of ratzon is responsible for the inner tension that we saw that's within us, how we desire davar v'ipucho. Reb Chaim Volozhiner, again, in developing this idea, writes that there was a fundamental change between pre-chet and post-chet, in light of this Ramban, that what ratzon means is that the Yetzer Hara became internalized. What does that mean? That there's a mixture. Rabbeinu, the Nefesh Chaim says that it's this mixture, just having this ratzon within us, again, davar v'ipucho, that says why, for example, la'achar achet, almost all even bad decisions have some type of good. There are very few actions that are purely evil. And likewise, even all good actions have some aspect of evil in them because of the ratzon, or the way, again, Rabbeinu Bachya and the Nefesh HaChaim put it, is the internalization of the Yetzer Hara, which is this ratzon. So, he says, a person will almost never do something that's purely altruistic. Anyhow, let's return to the basic Ramban. So now we could also understand what the Ramban means when he says that Lasid Lavo Bimos HaMashiach will no longer have that ratzon, and therefore, the Ramban says actually, we won't be rewarded for our good actions. Let's just look at that passage again. Limosa Mashiach, again, the second Ramban. Tia Bechira Betov Lahem Teva Lo Yisavel Lahem Halev Masha Eina Ro'we V'lo Yachbot Bo Klal. Right? We read that before, skipping a little. V'yashav Ha'adam Bizman Hahu La'asher Ayah Kodem Chato Shal Adam HaRishon She'osu B'tiva Masha Ro'i La'asos V'lo Ayah Bo Lo Birtsono Davar V'Pucho. Skipping a little. V'zeo Sh'am Raboseinu V'higiyanu Shanim Asher Tomar Ein Li Bahem Chayfetz. Ramban brings a beautiful riotous pshat. The Gemara says that Yemos HaMashiach, at least according to one opinion in the Gemara, described as days asher ein li b'ham chayfetz. What does that mean? Because since we'll return to the state of Adam Kodem Achet, so there won't be chayfetz or ratzon. Eilu Yemos HaMashiach she'ein b'ham lo zchus v'lo chova. There won't be reward and punishment. Ki b'yemei HaMashiach lo yeh b'adam chayfetz. Aval yase betivo hamaisa haroi, ulefikach ein bohem lo schus velo chova, ki as chus vachova tluyim bechefetz. What does he mean? Schus vachova, reward, punishment, are tali in chefetz. So probably the pashup shot is he means lefum tzara agra, right? Lefum tzara agra. You know, if I don't desire to do the wrong thing, so doing the right thing is not something that warrants reward. But perhaps on an even more basic level, reward comes from overcoming our nature. We said that, at least the Rabbeinu Bach explained the Ramban, as that when Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz Hadas Tovara, so instead of Ratzon being Michutz Mimenu, in the form of the Nachash, or the Isha, he says, it became internalized within him. So now, to do what's right, we have to some degree, overcome our nature. And reward emerges from that, because when we overcome our nature, we become more naturally good. And that's what it is. This is from a perspective of reward being naturalistic reward, as opposed to some type of external reward. It's not just like a lollipop, you do what's right, and God gives you schar. But by doing what's right, you become transformed into a different person capable of experiencing the type of spiritual pleasure associated with Olam Haba. Could explain that more another time, but that's what the Ramban here is alluding to. As long as you do that which is right naturally, so there is no transformation that occurs when you do what's right, because it's not in any way transformative, because it doesn't go against your nature. And that's why if you look at many of the Bali Musar, when they quote this Ramban, here you have some of them I included for you on page 2 over here, Rabbi Yerucham, Das Torah, the Michtav Meliyahu. The Bali Musar say that what they take from the Ramban is that the Ratzon that we have reflects a lower level of humanity. In a sense, when you become a good person by making good choices, you limit your freedom in the sense that you don't see certain things as enticing. In other words, the fact that we see things that are harmful as enticing reflects a diminution in our state, a foolishness, a blindness. And the Hasaras Ha'arlas Halev that the Ramban says will take place B'Mos HaMashiach is a correction. The Arlas HaLev will be gone. We'll no longer see these things as tantalizing. And growth, in a certain sense, means getting over that Bechira. Now, one last very quick question, and then I know there are a lot of questions here. I guess we're not going to get to the Rambam today, but at least the Ramban to finish it. So one very interesting question you could ask is like this. So the Ramban told us, and this is hard to understand how, but somehow or another, even from a position of lack of ratzon, even from a situation of Adam HaRishon Kodem Achet, we managed to mess up, right? We ate from the Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra. And the Ramban also tells us that B'Mos HaMashiach will return to that state. So how do we know we're not going to mess up again? If we could mess up the first time from that position of lack of ratzon, and we're simply going to be restored to that state in the post-messianic world, so maybe we'll make the same mistake we did the first time. Now it's clear from the Ramban that that won't happen, that the Mos HaMashiach will go on in our elevated state. Eventually then there'll be Tchias HaMesim and Olam Haba, etc., etc. But Mechateisi, we won't mess up again. So I think there's a couple of aspects to answering this. First of all, the Psukim, before they describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu's taking away our Arlas Halev, describe a tshuva that Klal Yisrael goes through over there in Parshas Nitzavim. And the yesod of that tshuva is that we grow, we learned from our mistakes the first time, and now we would not desire to do that again. If you want to put it a little differently, it's sort of like, been there, done that. Yes, from a man's initial position of lack of ratzon, so he wanted the opportunity to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu from ratzon. V'yisem kelo kim yodei tov hara. Man experienced that. He grew through the process. That includes the tshuva ba'achris hayamim. And now, there's no longer a makom for it anymore because he's outgrown it. And therefore, even though we've been restored to our original condition, there isn't that, as it were, chshash that will come back and we'll do it again. Okay. Time's it. Okay, a couple more minutes, so let me take some questions. Yeah.
The implication of the Ramban saying to Parasiva is the Ibn Ezra saying that he didn't have sexual desire. To say that he does have Ratzon after the age of 80, is the Ramban arguing that elderly people lose this?
I don't know, all people do. But Barzilai did. Barzilai did. He lacked Ratzon. Now, Be'emes, I think that, you know, Adam HaRishon Kodem HaChet was somewhere in between the stars and Barzilai. Because Barzilai was still human. And I don't know if a human ever totally loses Ratzon. And that's why perhaps he has these two analogies. He's not quite like the stars, because stars could never be enticed to eat from the Eitz Hadas Tov Hara, as Adam was, right? Stars don't mess up. But he also wasn't quite like Barzilai in the sense that, like you're saying, even old people have Ratzon. Maybe Barzilai thought he didn't, or maybe he was exceptional, but for the most part, that's true. Yeah. So again, the Ramban does not explicitly answer that question, other than saying that he wanted to be godlike, right? And Vayisam Kelokim Yode Tovara is exactly what he was desiring, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Ratzon, and therefore he wished to also have Ratzon. So that's what the Ramban says. To live in an existence of Ratzon, and to be like God. Perhaps being like God implies that was L'shem Shamayim, right? He wanted to serve God from a more elevated state. And again, like the Ramban says, it's a midah tova mitzad echad. It's also a midah ra. Because our ratzon, our desires for that which is harmful for us, is a reflection of a certain type of blindness, right? If our eyes were truly open, so we would recognize the harm in doing bad, harm to ourselves, harm to the world. So, but there is this mila. And Adam HaRishon wanted this mila. Now how could you want to do something without a Yetzer Hara? So there are different ways you could say it. You could say that the Yetzer Hara is Michutz Mimenu. That's sort of the way Rabbeinu Bachya presents it, in the form of the Nachash, and tempted him from Mibachutz, as opposed to Ratzon, which is Mibifnim. Or again, the way Rav Dessler says it, which was, it was a desire to serve Hashem from a more elevated level, serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu from a makom of bechira, of ratzon, where you desire to do that which is wrong and you still choose to do that which is right, is a much higher madrega in a certain sense. So he definitely gains something, but he loses something. Why was it ultimately wrong? It was ultimately wrong because it was against the tzivoy. Now, one could consider the following possibility, and you see this in certain Sfarim, which is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Eitz Hadas Tov Hara for a purpose. It wasn't just there for the purpose of temptation. And Adam HaRishon, at a certain point, was going to be allowed to consent, just like there was a zman and a makom for the consumption of the Eitz HaChayim, also of the Eitz Hadas Tov Hara. It was not yet the time yet. The chet of Adam HaRishon was jumping the gun. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wished for man to experience that at a certain point. It's just not yet. Which also, by the way, explains a little bit why it's Pashut that Bimos HaMashiach, we won't go back to that, right? Because in a sense it'll be the proper time. Yeah.
Well, for man to have understood the snake and have gone beyond his own potential fulfillment of his physical needs, does that not require a prior understanding of Ratzon?
So, apparently the Ramban thinks not. Maybe understanding of either understanding of Ratzon or understanding that there can be this idea of Ratzon, seeing it in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? V'yisem ke'elokim. In other words, the Ramban, the Adam understood, seems to some degree, what the snake meant when he said v'yisem ke'elokim. The snake made him aware that there was something he lacked that would allow him to serve Hashem or experience life at a greater madrega. And to want that was possible even without Ratzon, or at the very least without internal Ratzon. It could be something that could be induced mibachutz, but not mibifnim. That's why, again, because of the problem you're raising, why the Rabbeinu Bachya adds this element when explaining the Ramban of the snake being the taiva mibachutz and not mibifnim. And what changed was that. So I think it's Ibn Ezra. The Rabbeinu Bachya thought that was consistent with what the Ramban says, though. I don't know if you see it within Ramban himself.
For something to be induced to the foot, it still entails that something to be mibifnim.
He lacked it mibifnim, but it was something that he might have wanted, or at least seen the value. We'll see next week, maybe. The Rambam also tries to answer this question in a fascinating way. He has a different way of saying it. A similar idea that Adam originally had Bechira, but it was Emes and Sheker versus, and it was actually seeing the tree in that way, thinking in a certain way that brought about that. Maybe we'll return to this a little bit next week when we do Rambam Shita. Okay, have a good Shabbos, everyone. Yeah.